T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Well, it's, let me shut that off. Well, it's now official. It's not just the Department of Homeland Security that has a backdoor access to censor content on social media. They just go in and click the button. We'd like this post to go away. Makes Joe Biden look bad. Makes Hunter Biden look bad. Man, you gotta make it go away. It's not just our government. It's not just our Department of Homeland Security. This is fascinating what we are learning. The government in New Zealand does it, too. They got it, too. Wow. This was documented in a letter from the government's director of digital safety. Safety means safety for the ruling political class, not for you. They write, yes, the Department of Internal Affairs, talking about the digital, his department, has access to Facebook's takedown portal. Wow. Takedown portal. Wouldn't you love to have access to that? But you don't get that because you're a regular person. No, you're the one who gets taken down. So what does this mean? This is going on at an international level. Now, what's going to be fascinating is Elon Musk has promised us that he said Twitter interfered in elections. That's a big thing this week, by the way. He has said Twitter interfered in elections. So what does that mean? It wasn't an oopsie. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a, geez, we were confused when we took down the New York Post Twitter feed and silenced the story about Hunter Biden. It means we did it deliberately, and I can prove it, and he's going to put, I hope he puts it out. I hope he puts it out fast before he accidentally doesn't kill himself. Just put it out there. New Zealand has this too. You know what this means? World governments can censor you. That's unbelievable that all of this is going on. It's unbelievable the power they have over you, over me. And it can't continue. And it's getting worse every day. We find something else that's going on here. So all that's happening. And look, we've got an absolute attack on this. They want to enshrine this as an operating method. Who is they? The Democrats. And their controlled opposition. So Mitch McConnell moved yesterday to sneak something through called the JCPA. This is the Elon Musk Protection Act for the elites. Now, this is, look, I put it out to you. You will not find anywhere where Mitch McConnell has ever condemned, not even once, the censorship of half the country, his so-called voters, the people he allegedly represents but doesn't actually. He just tried to move through the U.S. Senate something called the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act. Now, you know how bills are. They are always headlining the opposite of what they actually are when Democrats write them. This does not induce journalistic competition in any way. It merges the social media platforms with mainstream media. And it gives them exemption from antitrust law, from law against monopolies. And what does that mean? Well, right now, According to federal law, it would be illegal, say, for the New York Times to go to, I don't know, Facebook, say, hey, listen, Breitbart there during the 2016 election, they got more hits than we did, and that really scares us. That hurts our business model. I mean, we want to lie for a living, and it makes it really hard when Breitbart keeps telling the truth and exposing our lies. Could you just knock them off Facebook for us? Well, that's illegal. It's monopolistic. It's a violation of federal antitrust law. This would end that, this bill. And they could literally begin to merge, to share profits. To say, well, you know, Breitbart, Daily Caller, they're not in the cartel. So we just kicked him wholly right off social media. Can you believe Republicans are supporting this? You know the most shocking thing? Ted Cruz is supporting this. He thinks he's got you hosed. He put an amendment on it. To fool you? Oh, conservatives can't be blocked. Okay. Well, if they say, okay, well, we're not blocking conservatives, we're blocking misinformers, they can go right ahead and block all these news outlets. If you want to know more about the JCPA, it's an absolute horror. You can go to Breitbart, just put in JCPA articles Breitbart, and it'll come up on Google. You can read everything. You will be shocked by this. So Ted Cruz has put this amendment on. Now he's supporting it. They need 10 Republican votes. And we're done. We're done. It's the Elon Musk Protection Act. Ted Cruz figures he'll cover himself with this amendment. I mean, that amendment means nothing. And what's even scarier is they are putting a woman from NewsGuard, an organization called NewsGuard, in charge of helping to cobble together these new cartels who will have an exemption. I mean, think about this. This is so bad that 100 years ago, if you ever went to school, you remember Tammany Hall, remember monopolies, remember trust busting? We all learned about it. It was so important. Why? Because you could get food companies to come in and crush their competition so that the guy who would have brought you food, better food at cheaper prices, is pushed out of the market by people who want to bring you crappy food at high prices. That's not capitalism. And it became a real problem. These cartels were huge and very powerful, and they were throttling the U.S. consumer. They were making people poor. They were criminal operations. So Congress outlawed it. But you could still have a cartel. You can have a monopoly if Congress makes an exception. They've got to make a law. That's what this does. This is the Elon Musk Protection Act for the elites. And, of course, Mitch McConnell is wholly on board. Now, the good news, we have really good news. There's two good news. Overnight, Senator Tom Cotton blocked it. Mitch McConnell is using something called a hotline track. But the good news about that is one senator needs to object and it stops it in its tracks. Cotton blocked it. So what they're trying to do, what Mitch McConnell is trying to do, and Ted Cruz, figuring you won't know about it, he did this with amnesty, by the way. He will stab you in the back so fast if he thinks you're not looking. And look, I'll tell you why Cruz is doing this, not because he's fundamentally evil, it's because he wants to be president. And the biggest donor category in Congress is big tech. He thinks he does this, he gets the money, you're going to have coffers that'll get him through the South Carolina primary, and you'll never be the wiser. Well, you're the wiser. Call his office, too. Tell him he just lost South Carolina if he votes for this. Because I'm not going to forget. Not going to forget. Not worth it, Ted. You're not going to do this any more than you're going to do the amnesty bill behind our back like you tried last time. So, unfortunately, John Kennedy is also a co-author on this. This is an absolute backstab by him, too. He talks a good line on Fox News, but when you look at what he actually does, it's not good. But the good news is we have Republicans in Congress who are fighting this, Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley, Senator Mike Lee. So good for them. Thank you to them. Thank you to them. So, but here's what we need to do right now, because this is very important. So far, we have not had Lindsey Graham or Tim Scott go on the record about what side they're going to come down on this. I think they're watching the back and forth. They're going to see if you figure it out. They're going to see if you figure out what they're going to do, because there's big money here. And Tim Scott wants to run for president, too. So he's looking over at Ted Cruz going, wow, Ted Cruz is going to get all that money. He's going to get all that big tech money. While pretending to oppose big tech, maybe I'll do that, too. So we need to expose what this is and to warn Senator Scott that a vote for this is not going to be worth it, because I'm going to make you pay for it. Is there going to be a primary in South Carolina? Because after the Kanye debacle, Trump is done. He just doesn't know yet, but he's done. It's going to be a primary in South Carolina. It's going to be big. And Senator Scott, I will sit in this chair and remind everybody what you did. They don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it no matter what they pay you. So text keyword Senate to 71307, and that will give you the contact information for Lindsey Graham
and Tim Scott are senators. So you could either call them when their office is open at 9, or you can email them, and that contact will get you to both places. So text keyword Senate to 71307. You need to call both of them up and say, no. We do not defeat Elon Musk. We are not passing the Elon Musk Protection Act here, which protects the elites from Elon Musk and free speech. We are not doing that, no matter what Ted Cruz says. We're on to you, and we know what you're doing, and we will remember. We are, folks, the good news is they're doing this because they're desperate. We are right on the verge of a major win with Twitter. And if Twitter goes full free speech, the others will be forced to as well, or there'll be tremendous pressure on them. We are so close, and we cannot allow the GOP leadership, Mitch McConnell, to take this away from us. And that is why they are doing it in the lame duck. They are trying to ram this through before the Republicans take over Congress in January and can stop it. By the way, so far, shockingly, Kevin McCarthy is on the right side of this. He says he'll stop it. And that is why Mitch is trying to jam it through now under cover of Christmas while the Democrats still control both houses so that they can silence you, silence me, and push us off into oblivion. Create what would normally be illegal cartels to block free speech. And this is, it's just unbelievable. But hey, we could still stop it. So text Senate, keyword Senate to 71307.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. Are we on the air? Okay, good. Good morning. Shocking admissions this week. Two of them. That would have been absolutely major bombshells back during COVID. We can't take our eyes off the ball here. I had a lot of people say, Taryn, tired of COVID. I'm tired. Yeah, but you won't be tired of this. Because it shows you how everything that they told you, everything that they showed you during COVID, it was a lie. It was a lie. And you know what's funny about these lies about COVID? They only go in one direction. They only go in one direction. And the direction that they go in is anything that would have helped you beat it, they didn't want you to have. Anything that hurt you, they wanted you to have. Two major bombshells this week. The first one was Anthony Fauci, trotted out by CNN. And I left the very long lead up in here so you could hear it. And keep in mind, we caught Anthony Fauci going back and forth personally with none other than Mark Zuckerberg, planning their censorship of anyone. I got a strike for this on Facebook. It's one of the reasons I post almost nothing but the Battleground podcast to Facebook, and I'm afraid to. If you want to get what used to be on Facebook and the great posts that I used to do there, you can get them on Telegram. If you're on Telegram, if you're not, it's a great app. Absolutely zero censorship. And I've moved a lot of you over from Facebook to there so you can get the real deal. That's because of people like Anthony Fauci. And they were talking about, remember, we had a FOIA, we got his emails, we got Fauci's emails. He's going back and forth with no less than Mark Zuckerberg, and they are censoring people like me. And I know I got one of the strikes for saying, hey, COVID came into the Wuhan lab.
Fauci said no. No, 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 it didn't. He just admitted on CNN, well, you know, I might have funded the creation of COVID. Can you imagine the implications of that? Because he didn't just move money for the NIAID and the NIH, $6 million. Those were the bit players. He moved money for the Pentagon, $39 million.
So we have the book coming out next week from Simon & Schuster by the whistleblower, the number two at Echo Health Alliance, which moved that $45 million in U.S. money for the development of COVID. And the number two guy there says, oh, hey, no, we didn't just develop COVID. We developed COVID-19. In that lab, we did it. U.S. government paid for its creation in a Chinese bioweapons lab. Wow. So CNN's got a problem. Because remember, those are people like, oh, yeah, if you say that COVID came out of the Wuhan lab, you're a racist. They lied. They lied for Fauci. They lied for our government. I don't know why they lied, but they did. Maybe we'll find that out, too. Well, that book's coming out from Simon & Schuster, not a right-wing source. They're very left-wing. And remember, the author of it, the number two at Echo Health Alliance that moved all that money for the federal government said, yeah, we created COVID-19, the COVID-19 strain. We did it in the Wuhan lab. We killed millions of people. That book comes out next week. Epstein didn't kill himself. Hope this guy doesn't kill himself either. They must be very busy this weekend at the federal government. So they trout Fauci out because they're going to have to walk this back. This is going to come as a shock to their viewers who they lied to for so long. So they tee Fauci up. Catch the end here. I don't think I funded COVID. Maybe I did. I don't think I did, though. It's the beginning of the walk back. And they got to do the full walk back before the Republicans take control and have these hearings, okay? So here's CNN. They need Fauci to begin to walk this back for them. So their listeners, their viewers won't know how bad they got hosed by CNN. And Fauci's beginning to walk it back, too. This is why he just retired.
You have said that you think that it is likely that it was a natural development from animal to human, but that your mind is open about it possibly being from a lab leak. And the investigation is going to be about specifically whether there's any connection, if there was a lab leak, to U.S. investments in virus research at the Wuhan lab. It's possible, right? I mean...
Maybe there's a lab leak, but it's not with the viruses that the NIH was funding. That's almost certain that that's the case.
So.
Almost certain. It wasn't with the viruses we funded. It's beginning to walk back. They'll gradually dribble this out. Because just if they did it all at once, it'd be too much. It shocked the conscience of their sheep. And now we got this, folks. Now we got this. Washington Post. Washington Post publishes a health newsletter. It's called The Health 202. You know what they admitted this week? COVID is now a pandemic of the vaccinated. They're the sickest. Told you. I think that vaccine not only makes you sick, it predisposes you to get COVID. That's why they wanted you to take it. They needed more waves. You know why there's not big waves? Just 11% of you took the last booster. They're beside themselves about this, by the way, on CNN. That's why there's not big waves. There should be a huge wave right now. There isn't. But there was one in the summer last summer. Why was that? Oh, it was 5 months after a major vaccination campaign. It harms your immune system and makes you more vulnerable, not less, to the next strain. And this is the Washington Post beginning to admit that. It did grievous harm to Americans' immune systems. I don't know if it's permanent. We don't know. But it's real. Let me read this to you. This is Washington Post, y'all. So you leftist, you can't even argue with this, can you? It's no longer a pandemic of the unvaccinated, the Washington Post writes. For the first time, a majority of Americans dying from coronavirus received at least the primary series of the vaccine. Wait, the majority? Wait, the unvaccinated are now doing better against COVID? Yes. Dying less from COVID? Yes. 58% of the coronavirus deaths in August were people who were vaccinated or boosted. I had people quit the show for saying that a year ago. The virus either gives you COVID, I mean, the vaccine either gives you COVID or makes you more predisposed to it. Washington Post.
That's according to an analysis conducted for the Health 202 by Cynthia Cox, vice president of the Kaiser Family Foundation. That is a liberal think tank. They are walking this the heck back. It's a continuation, they write, of a troubling trend that has emerged over the last year as vaccination rates have increased, as new variants appeared. It gradually degrades your immune system. I've been telling you this for a while. Remember when I was sending out the link to the NHS data from the UK so you could see it for yourself? Here's how it started. Back in April, the Washington Post admitted in the same newsletter that 42% of fatalities from the Omicron variant were vaccinated. The year before, in September, it was just 23. So it doubles between September to April. And then August rolls around, and now we're at a majority of the deaths. Wait. So coronavirus is now a pandemic of the vaccinated. Yeah. According to who? Conspiracy site. No, Washington Post. Take it up with them, not me. I'm just the messenger. Those of you who've been with me for a long time, remember, I warned you. I warned you. And I lost listeners over it, but that's okay. I'm here to save lives. This mess is what our federal government, this shot, just voted to mandate for children to be allowed to attend school. Dear God, it wrecks your immune system. See that RSV? Man, kids just can't seem to get over this RSV anymore. Their immune systems don't seem to be working so good, are they? Can't imagine why. How long do you think it'd be before the Washington Post admits that? They just did. So look, if your doctor tells you to get the shot, go ahead and educate them. They need to keep up with what's going on, or they'll become a danger to themselves and to their patients. Okay, going to jump on the line with Sheriff Hobart Lewis. Can you bring him up, Tim? My screen doesn't work. Is he up? Yeah, for some reason, I don't have access to that. Hobart Good Lewis, morning. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good. All right, so we've got a great way you can make a difference in the community, and boy, do people need help this year, and you are helping to bring that to them with something called LEO Santa. We are partnering with you to do that. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all have certainly been a great partner and helped make this a success again this year. But we're at the Bob Secure Arena collecting toys. People have been driving through overnight. We'll be here till 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be out in the community in the coming weeks in different subdivisions picking up toys as well. And we hope to serve 2,500 kids. And it's been a good time. We got the Greenville City Police Department. We got the Greenville City Fire Department, EMS. We got SWAT truck here, several patrol cars from other municipalities for kids to look at if they come by, and it's been a good time.
It is. It's really cool, and it's also presented by Attorney Rob Inario, and you know, partnering with us and with you guys. And it's so cool. Off-duty law enforcement officers fill their patrol cars with toys and gifts donated by the community. And of course, you bring the gifts for the kids, right? You bring them unwrapped. They'll take care of that. They'll take care of wrapping them, and you make a kid's Christmas. So it's a great concept.
It is. And the deputies and police officers, firemen, everybody that's involved certainly gets a bigger blessing out of giving these toys out here in a few weeks. And unfortunately, in Greenville, we got a long list of families that need a little assistance this year. And we're just proud of this community coming together to help support us and allowing us to do it. So it's a great cause.
Yeah, and it's also sponsored by so many great groups, everyone from Harley-Davidson of Greenville to Long Heating and Air, Greenville Heritage, Federal Credit Union, and, of course, Rob Inario. Wanted to ask you, is there anything particular that they need? I know some years they're short on this or that kids want. Do you know, Sheriff?
I don't really know what we may be short on. We got boxes set out, and we received a large amount of toys, so from different ages, and we'll start going through those this week. Noelle Jones, the deputy's wife who started this program several years ago, she'll be going through and categorizing them. But obviously, you know, anything you can give a new unwrapped toy will be great. We'll certainly certainly find a family that can use it and hopefully bring a smile to their face and let them know somebody's thinking about them and keep a little hope alive in Greenville.
Awesome. Awesome, Sheriff. And I love doing this every year because it just gets us in the Christmas spirit. And I love especially that law enforcement officers are the ones who give some of these toys out. So it's also very positive during a time when, you know, quite frankly, officers who give so much and do so much are demonized.
We certainly do get a lot of that. But, you know, in our area where we live, we're very fortunate that this community supports law enforcement. We always have a very positive feeling, if you will, not just around Christmas, but just here in the upstate. Most people are extremely supportive. But to have these deputies and police officers out in uniform and myself and Chief Thompson get to go out there and be part of that when it's these officers that really do all the work. But to see them go out and engage the community and have so much support from people who don't have any involvement with law enforcement. They hadn't had a bad experience, hadn't had a good experience, but they've been coming through all day yesterday, all night tonight, or last night, I'm sorry, and dropping off just an overwhelming amount of toys because they want to do something. They just don't know what to do. They don't know what families may need it. And, you know, it's nice to see late yesterday people bringing their kids and their kids dropping off toys. And, you know, they know their families are going to have a good Christmas, and they want to spread that to somebody else. And we get to do that representing law enforcement. So, you know, hopefully build some relationships with people in a very positive way, because we are a lot of times the stuff that makes the news or makes social media sometimes is just us arresting people and, you know, maybe in a very negative light. But these deputies and police officers, troopers, city police officers do such a great job on a daily basis. They do so much good in a 12-hour shift. We're just proud that people get to put a name with the face.
Amen to that, Sheriff Hobart. Lewis, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes,
we just had that story out of San Francisco that 10-month-old baby almost died from a fentanyl overdose at the park. And this is in a very upscale area, less than a mile from Nancy Pelosi's home. And then we just had the Attorney General of the state of Florida say, listen, these fentanyl pills that are making it across the border, 6 out of 10 of them kill now. That is double what it was last year. I'm just curious, what are you seeing in our community with fentanyl?
It's horrible. We asked the governor recently as he went through his reelection, we're asking for mandatory minimums for fentanyl dealers. That, you know, obviously a 25-year sentence, but we are well over 100 fentanyl deaths in Greenville County alone. Us in Charleston and Richland will probably be the highest in the state for fentanyl overdoses, and it's non-discriminatory. It's every age group. We see it from seniors. We see young kids in high school, and we also see people who are not using drugs come in contact with fentanyl that overdose, that don't have any idea what somebody may have been putting these drugs together, whether mixing meth and fentanyl or heroin and fentanyl, whatever the case. We see it now in marijuana as well. So it's a huge problem. We actually have in Greenville an investigator now assigned to fentanyl deaths, so we've been very successful in finding dealers. If we get to the scene and it gets reported in time for these overdoses, we can find the dealer that may have sold the drugs, and we're going to charge them with murder.
Good.
We've worked with the solicitor's office. We've worked with the attorney general's office. We've had two of those charges made. We're going to continue to work on that and get that part done. But we need these fentanyl dealers. It's a very cheap drug for them to get. And these dealers that get caught are looking at about a 2 or 3 year sentence. So there's not a lot for them to lose in the drug trade selling fentanyl. So mandatory minimums for these criminals are going to be a really big deal. And we feel confident when in January that we can get that bill written and get it passed.
Real quick, Sheriff, and because I know you got to go. You just said something. They're putting it in marijuana because the National Health Survey every year says that half of high school children, students, will try marijuana, unfortunately, before they graduate. You're seeing it in marijuana?
Absolutely. Right here in Greenville, people who sell fentanyl is extremely cheap.
Yeah.
So it's very effective as a drug. So they're mixing it to make marijuana a little bit stronger. We just went through a huge battle this past year where they were trying to legalize marijuana in South Carolina. And we have a huge issue with judges in South Carolina that don't want to prosecute marijuana cases now. We've just seen Biden, you know, pushing to release marijuana charges, judges to release simple possession charges like it's not a big deal. The problem is that fentanyl is so cheap, it is mixed with marijuana, and we've had high school age children, we've had people in their 20s and 30s overdose from smoking marijuana.
Oh, no.
Marijuana had fentanyl in it. I don't know how many Narcan uses we're up to this year, but it's well in the hundreds for Greenville.
Wow. Parents need to know that. Listen, Sheriff, will you come back on and talk to us some more about that? I know we both got to go, and you're doing a great job out there at the LEO, Santa. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sheriff Hobart Lewis, for all that you do.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for what you do, Tara. We appreciate you.
Thanks. Sheriff Hobart Lewis was just online talking to us about LEO Santa, which is awesome. Need to it'll make you feel good, too. Jim is on the text line. He says, Tara, I dropped off bicycles at the toy drive at Bon Secours Wellness Center yesterday. And guess what? It'll make your heart feel good. I urge everyone else to go by today and drop a toy off, too. So says Jim in Easley. Yes, it does make you feel good. But and so we talked to the sheriff because he's out there and we're partnering with him and the Greenville police. And it's just great effort all around. Really going to make a difference for kids on Christmas who, you know, might wake up to find that Santa has left them behind. It just hurts a place in my heart to think a kid would feel that way. So that we can all make a difference there in that. But Hobart Lewis making news also there that this has hit this county. And I was afraid of this. This whole marijuana thing. And I've tried so hard to get through to parents. And we had the former head of the DEA from the Washington District on to try to Doug Mellum, to beg and plead to parents. You got to understand, you cannot think, oh, my kid's not a drug user. I don't have to worry about fentanyl. Yes, you do. Does your kid take ADHD medicine? Anxiety medicine? Yeah, well, their friends will tell them, oh, no, it's just Ritalin. And 4 out of 10 might be. The rest are laced with fentanyl. Ashley Moody, the Attorney General of Florida, was on television on Fox News this morning saying, listen, you know, we used to find 3 out of 10 of those pills had deadly level of fentanyl coming from China. This is a mass murder campaign by China, by the way, using Joe Biden's open border. And she said it's doubled. It's 6 out of 10. That is not a Russian roulette I want to play. But what Sheriff Hobart Lewis just said, and this is news, this is big news, they are finding fentanyl-laced marijuana. Oh, my kids won't do that. My grandkids. Oh, really? Go look up the CDC's. They do an annual study. A majority of kids in high school, usually it's in the low 50s, 51, 52, 53 every year, since the 1990s have said, yeah, I tried marijuana by the time I graduated. Half of you did in this audience. And you tried it. Nothing bad happened. Went on with your life, right? Now you die. Potentially. So if you think, well, nobody, my kid knows. Oh, yes, half the people your kid knows will do that. Your child has probably already been offered marijuana. And look, I remember, I mean, just even going to the Catholic school, their kids went out back and smoked it, and they're fine today. I mean, you know, kids will be kids. Well, now you potentially die. You have got to have this conversation early and often. This generation of kids can't try a puff on a joint at a party and go, oh, well, that was okay, whatever. Because you know what it is now? That's your first ever experience with drugs, and last, because you're dead. You just heard the sheriff say that. These are high school kids. Texter writes, our Sunday school teacher's daughter smoked a joint at college and died. It was laced with fentanyl. Folks, I got to tell you, by the time I got out of my sorority in college, every one of them had smoked pot. And today they're all accountants and doctors, and lawyers, graduated tops in their class, not a bunch of drug dealers. So, I mean, parents have to get this out of their head. My kid's not a drug user. They can go on Instagram. They can go on TikTok. And they can order this stuff, and they will drop it in your mailbox. This is not like anything a parent has ever faced. Ugh. Texter writes, fentanyl's in all the marijuana smoke now in New York City, so I get sick whenever I walk the streets from the secondhand smoke. Dude, that's from a New York number. Cool. I'm glad you're listening. Texter writes, Tara, you can let everyone know that Rumble will play the audio even if the phone is locked. That is great for all of us earbud listeners. Yeah, well, I live to serve. So, excited about that. Good news. But folks, have the conversation. Call up today your kids, your grandkids. Talk to them about fentanyl. It is not like any other drug. And when they say to you, I don't do drugs, they're probably serious. They don't probably do heroin. They probably don't do cocaine. They probably don't do meth. They wouldn't touch that stuff. But a little over half of them will smoke a joint before they leave high school. And our sheriff just said, we're finding the marijuana lace. That scares me so badly. And again, our generation did it. We tried it. We're fine. Not this one. Texter writes, what does LEO stand for? Law Enforcement Officer. Love those guys. Great what they're doing for the kids of the community.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.